Allegiance.
I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next is roll call, and everybody is here except for Jim. He wasn't able to make it because of the weather. Citizen input is next on the agenda. If there's any citizens here that would like to address the council on council issues that is not on the agenda tonight, raise your hand, acknowledge it. We'll give you up to 5 minutes up here at the podium. Okay, we'll close that. Okay, before we approve, ask for approval of the agenda, we need to strike 4.8. Daryl went home so he could get home, so we're going to pull that off so everybody knows that. So we'll see that later on 4.8.
What was that regarding?
Oops, I just strike over. Ordinance, dog license requirements.
Okay.
That's how many dogs I think you can have in your...
Got it.
On your property. Okay, so do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda, less 4.8?
Second.
Okay, Charles, and who was Dan seconded?
Yeah.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Okay, consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for the consent agenda?
Make the motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson? That was second? Okay, Gina seconded it. Any discussion? Okay, go ahead.
The consent agenda includes approval of accounts payable. One of the warrants in our accounts payable today included a $6,000 payment to the contractor that is doing Main Street. And me and my constituents are saying, heck no. We're not interested in paying them. We think it's, well, you know what I think about that anomaly out there. So I am voting no, and there's no way I refused to sign the warrants, because we signed those warrants to pay for services rendered, and I don't think we're getting the services rendered that they want. We've already paid them $250,000, they want another $600,000. No.
Now, from what I understand, that has to all be approved through Larry Julius and his...
It's the time on record certified by the engineers for all projects. To date, 48% of all the equipment has been purchased and 69% of all labor has been expended on the project. And that was through October 31st, which is what the pay request was for.
Okay.
And these are the same... Oh, never mind.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Second.
Okay. We have first... You have a first and second, right? Ken, you're first.
Gina
was second. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay. Mark? Okay. Duly noted. Okay, where are we at now? Public hearing. Let me get that up on my screen here real quick. Okay, please bear with us as we progress. Let me enlarge that. There we go, now I can see it. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:06 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the proposed city water efficiency program. This public hearing is required as part of our water comprehensive plan update. I will now ask Eamon, our city administrator, to present a report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. What you have before you is the water use efficiency program that is an element of the city water comprehensive plan. Now, we adopt the city water comprehensive plan every 6 years, and we're going to talk about that later in tonight's program. The Water Use Efficiency Program was started in 2003. The Washington State Legislature passed a municipal water law to address the increasing demand on the state's water resources. The law established that municipal water suppliers, such as the City of Othello, must use water more efficiently in exchange for the right to increase water demand. In other words, if we conserve the water, the state will allow us to increase our water rights, basically. Over time, without forfeiting any of the unused portions of our water rights in the interim. Now you have before you a summary of the Water Use Efficiency Rule requirements in Table 1. Table 2 is the Water Use Efficiency Measures. And on the bottom of page 2, you can see the goals that the city is asked to participate or to adopt. One is to maintain distribution system leakage under 10%. Now part of this has to do with such things as our standpipe behind the fire station. Are we accounting for that water? Another reason is the water meters that are put on fire hydrants that people use, contractors use, and we have to account for that water, and also old and leaking pipes. So what the state is saying is, you, City of Othello, you must account for the water that you have. We are well below the 10% mark. In fact, we're about 3% is the difference between what we pump and what we bill for. So we're doing very well in that department. The second goal is to reduce annual non-industrial residential consumption per capita by 0.5% per year on a three-year average. If these goals are met, the city will save 20 acre feet of water per year by 2016 and 232 acre feet of water per year by 2030. Remember, our total allocation of water is 7,100 acre feet, which we're not even close to consuming right now. So we're doing well in those departments. The City of Othello meets all health requirements for the Water Use Efficiency Program as shown in the attached tables. So with that, we would ask that the council at the end of the public hearing consider adopting the Water Use Efficiency Program to be included in our water comp.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I will now ask for public testimony. Questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, we'll close that part of it. Since there was no public comments, I will now close the time for public testimony. All right. Does any council members have comments or questions at this time? Go ahead.
Question, does the standpipe behind the fire station have a meter?
Currently it does not. It's the honor system. We do have a big sign posted there. They're supposed to come and get a bulk water permit. We don't believe that's currently 100% accurate. I've asked Terry to implement either a card swipe system or something, and he's looking into that. But it's currently not being metered.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Okay, then I will now close the public hearing at 7:11 p.m. Thank you, Eamon. Okay, switch to the next one. Oops. All right, where are we at here? Okay, water system plan review, Eamon?
Mayor, if we could we ask for the council vote to adopt the water use efficiency program and direct mayor to include it in the water comp plan? I'm sorry, I know I noted it for information, but after checking today, we need council motion to put it in the plan as the goals were adopted.
So you need a motion to approve the contract eight, no.
The water use efficiency program.
I'm in the wrong one, okay. Okay, do I hear first? Dan, you're first. I'll hear a second. Ken, Kaler? Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. All right. Budget cleanup item, ACDC finance presentation. Eamon?
Is it okay if we go back one step to the water comp plan? I'm sorry,
I
got you mixed up there, Mayor.
Yep, you got me mixed up. All right, I see where you're at. Okay.
I apologize for that. The city has been working on its water system comp plan for about 6 years, and in most earnest this past year. Cities are required by state law to adopt a new water comprehensive plan every 6 years. The plan is developed to evaluate the performance and adequacy of the city of Othello's existing water supply and distribution system, and to describe what steps the city must take to meet the demands of its 6 and 20 year planning periods. Now you're going to see some things as we talk that we've already talked about in our budget, because these should dovetail. What's in the budget and capital facility program should be in our water comp plan. The water comp plan in the planning phase looked at population, growth rates, pumping ability, and fire flows. The capital improvements look at the sources. What are our sources of water? What's our capability of pumping? What do we need for the future? And as you know, we've been talking about a new well, and actually a second new well, in our budget discussions. One of the things the city plans to do is rehabilitate well number 6, which the council has been talking about for a number of years now. The water plan also discusses storage and the city's ability to store water. As we talked about a meeting or two ago, the water pressure that is in the city is directly attributed to the height of the water towers. So we have to have storage capacity with tall water towers to create pressure around the city. One way to address the pressure issue without building taller water towers is a booster pump system from one tower to another. That's also in the water comp plan. It's also in our capital facility plan and our budget. The plan also addresses treatment. The state is requiring that the city does not have any treatment improvements required for the next 6 year period, and that's a good thing for the city. Telemetry, the telemetry system will include power monitoring equipment, water level monitoring, and associated equipment at each well site. The city will replace the remaining water meters currently being read manually with radio read units. We've been working on that program for a number of years, and we'll complete it next year. We'll have transferred all the old meters out in exchange for the new radio read meters. So that's a program that will come to conclusion, and then we can start all over again from the meters we've started putting in 7 and 8 years ago. So that's something you've already looked at in the budget also. Transmission lines, as we discussed in our mini retreat, when we put well 9 on board, not only will it require funding to drill the well, put the well in, but you have to get the water from the well site to the city or to a reservoir. And that's addressed in our water comp plan, as Councilmember Kaler brought up in our retreat. Again, distribution lines and operation and maintenance, of course, is always included. And that will include calibrating source meters, updating our wellhead protection plan, replacing fire hydrants, replacing aging pipes in the system, and we're doing some of that in the Main Street project, and equipping well 8 with a VFD to prevent the lowering of the water table and subsequent well problems. If you recall, well 8 and well 5 are kind of tied together underground, because when well 5 starts sucking a little air, we back off in well 8, the water table in well 5 comes back up. So we throttle back to make sure we keep both wells running. The next page on the screen is actually table ES1, which is the executive summary table number 1, capital improvement plan. And we can go down those in the column 2011, which is the second column over. The X is in well number 1 abandonment, and council has put that money in next year's budget. The second item is to develop well number 9, and we have $1 million in our budget for that. Dropping down to water rights, we have $7,000 for the change in application. And that's a process we have to go through with the Department of Health, pay a fee to change our water rights because we're looking at sites that are outside the city limits currently. We're looking at sites where the water is actually. So we have to go through a process of water right acquisition outside the city limits, which has a price tag of about $7,000 to it. And then the transmission lines from well number 1 to the city. This has $1.6 million. We didn't quite put that much money in the budget, so we'll match this with our capital facility monies for future expenditures. So that's the executive summary of our water system comp plan for the next 6 years, and I would ask that the council authorize the mayor to submit it to the Department of Health, which we have a requirement to get it to the Department of Health by November 30th.
Any questions from council? Okay, do I hear a motion to authorize the mayor to submit the water comp plan to Health, the Department of Health? Gina first.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Okay. Any discussion for a vote? No. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, the measure passes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, here we go. 2011 budget cleanup items, ACDC, finance presentation, Eamon, then Leonard.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce this item by doing two things. Number one, clarifying what we're doing here relative to the Adams County Development Council. As you know, we have the 2%, or actually 4%, money program, which is where we give monies to organizations to help them in their facilitation of what they do for our community. The ACDC contract is different. It's a contract, just like our contract for services with our engineering company, with our attorney. This is a contract for services. So in this contract, we are at addendum number 2, which you have a copy of. Tonight, Mr. Ryans, who is the treasurer of the Adams County Development Council, will identify for you how ACDC is funded. In other words, how does ACDC get its money from the state? And then we would ask that you consider the adoption of addendum number 2, which is an addendum to the contract, actually the second one, so it's our third year of contract with ACDC. Mr. Lyons.
Mr. Shelton, could you clarify, 2% money, is that related to tourism money? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, 2%, which is now 4% money. I should have said tourism, that's a more.
Oh, okay,
money.
Yeah.
Thank you. That.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
As most of you know, I was on your side of the podium for 10 years and understand the budget process. I appreciate the deliberation that you guys are going through tonight. It's my privilege to discuss ACDC's funding mechanism. And again, you contracted with us for the services of economic development. I believe you have a presentation on that that deal mostly with economic development in the county. And it's to talk about business retaining, business enhancement, and a number of those kinds of issues that affect the economic climate of a whole county. The board has 21 positions, which we feel fortunate that we were at 20. And you have two council members who are serving on that committee, and your city administrator is the past president. So we have great representation, as well as local citizenry on this. It's a very unique board. It's been a pleasure to serve on it. It's a struggle. It's a new situation. In talking with ADOs across the state, all of us are challenged by the economic situation in our state and the difficulties of maintaining businesses and keeping them. We feel very fortunate, and I'll get into that as we go along. Again, we do have a contractual relationship, a municipal service agreement, which allows you to look at our figures according to the contract on an annual basis. And you've had presentation in two ways in that. We normally develop an annual budget, which clearly states where our financing comes from every year, and that'll be upcoming in January. And that information will be presented to you again, which talks about all sources of revenue and all expenditures and getting down to a net figure of what funds are available in the organization. We have a core base, basically starting with what's now called Department of Commerce. It used to be called CTEP. Department of Commerce awarded on a biennial basis to us a contractual amount of $82,250. $82,250, of course, $41,125 per year. Now, this is a reimbursing situation. This is not free money given to us. We have to meet specific requirements, and we have categories that are allowable reimbursements. And part of that situation is that we have to have in-kind monies. This is non-cash or additional cash contributions to the organization to be able to even get what they've awarded us. So the first year, which starts in July 1st through June 30th, last year we got our $41,125. As you've been watching in the paper and being well aware of, the governor has now cut such funding 16.7%, and with the discussion about further cuts to balance the budget. So your kind of contribution to us is extremely important. In addition to this money from the Department of Commerce for tourism and development, for development of economics in the communities, a second funding comes on a per diem basis of these service contracts to act on a countywide benefit for each individual city and the port within this, and we based upon population studies that are put out, and that is a funding mechanism that comes to us. And each city has allowed that. It's 50 cents per citizen, and that's been your contractual agreement with us each year. In addition to this, we have partnership pledge partners that come each year, individual concerned citizens and businesses that give us money at our annual meeting and during times through the year. This is not a very significant amount, but it is appreciated as the people, individual business people, and individuals have contributed to us each year. One of the last funding sources that we have is the annual fundraiser. This is a new device for us in the last 2 years, mainly is to get our name out, identify, get people to understand and see who might be participating, and to get an opportunity to talk about economic development in the county. And that has netted us approximately $5,000 the last 2 years each. So this funding mechanisms are allow a viable amount. They're reimbursed, and part of the additional funding that comes to get that is from the state is that we have to have in-kind, which I mentioned before. All of the directors that have been appointed by the various cities to represent them in the port district, none of them are taking any contribution of any form. They're donating their time, and that usually about 2 hours per individual council meeting. There's mileage. We come a representation from all over the county, a very fair representation, quality representation. No one is being reimbursed from the ACDC to do that. So that allows us to meet that criteria. The city, as well as the Adams Public Services Department, are allowing us to use our facilities for our meetings. That goes towards in-kind. So we average somewhere around $4,000 per quarter of in-kind contribution, which is one of the highest percentages of any ADO in the state. And it's a testimony to the belief by the directors of the importance of this organization. We had some startup costs and that was basically to get a website designed, to get our initial brochures, get a letterhead, get some designs for our organization. And this body, as well as every other city and the port, passed through back to us monies from the previous ADO that the county commissioners appointed this new ADO, and which is what Adams County Development Council is called, to act on the development of economics in the county. And that was approximately a little under $70,000 came to the organization as seed money, and was much appreciated to get us going. We still are using that as our cushioning nest egg. And I'll get to a final figure here pretty soon to go over with you. One of the things to talk about is that we did hire an executive director to, as a volunteer organization, and all of us are business people or county and city executives. It's very hard to spend the quality time day in and day out to respond to all the needs that came in. So we hired an executive director, and that director resigned earlier this year. And in light of the budget cuts, that position has not been filled. We hired an administrative assistant to the chairman to fill on the day-to-day requirements. She works 3 days a week, the first 3 days of the week, and for the ACDC. The county commissioners looked at our situation and offered some additional help to us, because if we had maintained our executive director at the salary, at the expense level, travel, and everything else that was going on, in approximately 18 months, we would have been out of funding. But with the decision to saw our reduced funding from the state reimbursement and the decision of direction of the council, of this council, we determined to go with an administrative assistant. The county came forward and offered facilities in their service building down here. And so we have moved our office, which was a $300 a month saving, to move into the office here, work with us on our utilities, the additional costs of operating an office, which we won't allow to have. So we deeply appreciate the county commissioner's support of the organization. Again, stating that, you know, we are a beneficiary of county, city, and port funding, and with the state award, the individual contributions. Basically, with the current financial situation of not having a director, and with Roger Krug being lent to the organization, and with the funding help that the county has done in regard to giving us facilities, our current financial statement indicates at the end of October we had a balance of $83,199.15 in the bank. $83,199.15. This again indicates that the original $70,000 that the agencies passed through to us is still intact and still there as our cushion. And that we have basically a break-even situation going on for the last 2 years. Should the council determine to hire another executive or make some other billing decisions, it's certainly obvious that we will need to look at additional funding sources to continue that or hope for better fortunes from the state. But again, thank you for allowing us to be your arm in that service contract of economic development in a county-wide basis. And again, to let you know that we deeply appreciate the two council members who have been allowed to serve on the board and the city administrator. Damon is a charter member and is extremely instrumental in quality and getting us up and going. It's been a pleasure to serve with these three gentlemen. That indicates that you get direct involvement in the budget process, and so that they will look at every aspect of the budget as it's being developed here soon, and have for the last 2 years. It's basically where our funding comes from for Adams County Development Council.
Is there any questions for Leonard from the council?
Has anybody relay to you what my concerns were with the budget presented to us?
I just understood what I read in the paper, and I have no clue
where
the first time that I had in the paper.
you come to me, I don't know, there's a TV show on called Sharks. I don't know if you've seen it, where a business comes to investors and they invest money. Well, the Adams County Development Council has came to us with a nice brochure and say, you know, and you up front, it's a business and you're a contract with this. And according to the brochure, the beginning balance was supposed to be $77,000. And the ending fund balance was going to be, after all of the income less the expenses, was going to be $50,000. And we get the actual for that calendar year, and it says the beginning balance is $13.66, and the overall, the ending balance is negative $4,379. So nobody's explained that discrepancy to me, how we lose $77,000. Now, beginning, remember, a beginning balance is what we're doing now. We're predicting a beginning balance for 2011. So it's 5 weeks away, so it shouldn't be $77,000 off for any account. So what happened to the $77,000 that went down to $13?
I have no idea what information you're looking at.
Well, this is, you recognize this, right? Budget for 7/1/2009 through 6/30 using ACDC budget. That's what I was giving when I asked for the ACDC budget.
Well, I can only, without any prior knowledge of the request, I was asked only to speak to the funding source, and I have that. You may be looking at an individual month breakdown, which Kira, we've been using an interesting QuickBooks report in which neither she nor I were completely able to fully understand, but to give the correct headings. And so I suspect you're looking at an individual month's breakdown, which certainly we would be many, many months. We would not, our income, we only have income once a quarter from the county, once a year from the various other agencies, but we have expenses every month, so there could have been a difference per month. But again, we have $83,199 in the bank at this point.
Do you have it appears your budget goes from 7/1/2009 through 6/30/2010.
Yes.
Do you have a budget that shows your actual for the year?
Yes, and that's presented to the board of directors each month.
But council has not been given a copy of that.
And there would be no reason to give you a copy of that. Per contract, we can speak to those issues on one time a year, and you can request that. And you normally have, and you normally send representation to the annual meeting to accept and get that information. Short of that, you have two council members and your executive that are at every meeting when possible, and they review the budgets and approve the budgets.
I spoke to a member directly and asked him to explain that difference, and this is what I got back. Are you saying you don't want to show me last year's budget? I mean that was one of the requirements the council agreed to, that when we give entities money, we know their goals, their mission statement, and their budget for last year and this year, so we see where they've been and where they're going.
You aren't giving us money. You're entering a contract with us. That contract suggests that you have the opportunity one time a year to ask, but nothing is to be given to you on an intermediary basis. If you want an annual budget, I can certainly go back and for your review, but it's not open for you to ask or discuss individual line items. It's up for your representation you have on there to talk to us, but we've entered a contract for a service and we're providing that service.
And to me, we don't require any of our other contracts to go through the scrutiny that we have with the ACDC. This is a contract for services, $3,400 for these services. Economic development, I think, is a great deal. If we had to do this on our own as a city, we could not do it for $3,400. site plan review, I believe that's what it's called, or if we had a large company come in and look at us, for us to supply all the information, it would run us a lot more than that. Roger does a wonderful job in supplying all the information, what's available, from properties to facilities. There's a list of stuff he has to provide when there's interest in a large company. It's like $3,400 a year for this service. This is a wonderful deal. And I want to emphasize, this is a contract. The same money that's just being given to the CPC, this is for services provided.
What I'm hearing is tax dollars are going to an entity and they're not forthcoming with what that money's going for, so I wouldn't give them a dime. I don't care if it's AC/DC or whatever.
Well, it's an unfortunate thought process. We've had annual statements which list each down to the amount minute to your donor, what all the expenses are there on an annual basis. We're providing what you've asked us to do per your contract, service contract that you've designed. And again, you have great representation on the board, which is much appreciated.
Oh, that's great. I would love it. But my representative didn't get back to me and explain the $77,000 difference. So I don't know what you do then.
There's no $77,000 difference. I think that maybe you aren't fully understanding financial accounting.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's a tough statement to say and walk away. I have an accounting degree. I've worked with million-dollar budgets out of the plants. I understand accounting. You refuse to even look at this. And I have in my hands what was given to me to explain that, your budget. And it shows a $77,000 variance and a negative revenue. Okay, well, I asked your representative to explain this difference, and they said Leonard Lyons will come and explain it to you, so.
They didn't relay that to me, but again, it's a service contract, and you have a contract that requires and allows you certain information at certain times. And you're dealing with an in-budget, in-month program that I was not asked to bring on.
So, Leonard, then you guys audited by the state like we are? You guys audit by the state yearly, like we are? Is there a yearly audit on you guys?
Yes,
there
we
is.
At this point, they don't have budget monies to audit us every year.
Mm-hmm.
We have to certify that the documents are there for them to come and look at any time, and we maintain them. They're currently reside at the county services building here in this town. But just like anything, they will get to us. It's just they determine that the award to us and the budget money that this department has, the audit department has, that they've chosen not to audit the ABOs at this point.
And I would like to remind the council too that how we get the money from our state contract is reimbursement. We actually have to put the money out first. Then we have to submit for that money back. And there's only certain things that we get that money for when we submit it. So the state takes a very good look at the criteria to see if we're meeting that criteria to be in reimbursed on, which Leonard has been doing a wonderful job on this submitting all this stuff for us.
So in January then, we'll be getting a report of which period?
It will be, we have two situations that we can do. We normally give you the biennium breakdown the same as what this state award is to us. So in this case, it'll represent from July 1st to the new year from a budget presentation, and then it'll give us the financial analysis of our last biennium year.
On January 6th, we will be having our annual shareholders meeting. And at that time, we also present the budget for the year and other expenses to all of our stakeholders.
Tim, I got a quick comment here. I kind of thinking here a little bit out of the box, but you know, we talked about we don't want to spend $3,400 for a pretty good cause here. What else are you going to spend it on and get that much investment for so little of money? You think about ACDC, there's a tie between Adams County and the city of Othello and the community. And if you don't have somebody out there trying to bring business into town, what are you going to have? Be like some of these other community, die on the vine, whatever you want to do. But you've got to have some entity in there throwing the punches, throwing the pitches, whatever it takes to make some of these things happen. And if we don't, as a city, start putting money and more money into something like this, we're not going to have those businesses come in. They can't come right out and tell you what they're doing, because that would mess up what they're trying to develop. Like Leonard or Roger or any of them, they can sit there and they can go through a lot of things. It looks like they're doing absolutely nothing. And then all of a sudden, bang, it happens. And that's the thing that you can't understand, and you can't really figure what it's all tied in together. But every county has got some type of development council or whatever. Maybe some of the smaller counties may not have, but basically are, and they're a part of the community. They're invested in them.
I'd like to encourage the council to go to some of the meetings. I don't know how many people have been to them. I think I've made four or five now, I'm not sure, but they're very interesting. You get a real good feel for what they're doing at the meetings, and they go over the budget, like Leonard shared, and it's very informative. I really enjoy the meetings when I get to go. So is it every other month they're here?
Every other next meeting will be in Ritzville on December 9th.
The 9th, okay. But if you get an opportunity, I know they leave from here at a certain time, but I know Mark's got questions. I don't know what the paper he's looking at is, but maybe, you know, when we come out in January with the budget, Mark, you can take a good look at it, and, you know, then we can talk, but I'm not sure what you're staring at, so. But
with that, I'd like to make the motion to approve the addendum, second addendum, to the contract with Adams County Development Council.
I'll second.
Okay, Ken first. Ken Kaler second. Any more discussion?
The only thing I have to say is I've never questioned the intent or the goodness they are doing. All I asked is to explain a large budget deficiency, that whether it was a mistake the sheet given to me or whatever, that's all I've asked for, is to explain what our money was being used for. And I don't think that's out of line, whether it's Pet Rescue or Chamber of Commerce or this organization. I think they ought to be upfront that our money is being used in a wise and valuable way.
Which I think he said, didn't he? Leonard said that, what the money goes to. You know, bringing business in, things like that. Pursuing business.
Never mind. I'm not questioning their, it's rainbows and roses and all good. All I want to know is why the budget given to me showed a negative revenue for the year. And if they're out losing money and it's not being spent wisely, then we shouldn't deal, whether it's Chamber of Commerce or this organization.
Okay, we have the first and a second. Oh, do you have something?
You have a motion on the floor.
Yeah. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. And that passes. Okay, ordinance to amend OMC 12.16.60 and 12.16.070 of Chapter 12.16, Water and Sewer Service and Rates. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm here to sit at my computer. Everything I have is all, I'll talk from this position. At the October 4th council workshop, staff were getting back to council three different water rate increase scenarios over a three-year period from 2011 through 2013. The summaries included a 4% rate increase each year for 3 years, a 3% rate increase each year for 3 years, and a 2% rate increase each year for 3 years. Attached to each scenario was a real-life account and the annual impact of the proposed rate increase on the average residential water user. Capital projects were itemized in the summary to give council a global picture of the next 3 years in terms of investment in water-related activities. Major projects included an estimated $500,000 to rehabilitate well number 6 and drilling 2 new wells, one in 2011 and one in 2013. Each well estimated at $1 million. Total capital over a three-year period was estimated to be approximately $3.2 million, including the projects identified above. Following that meeting, suggested by Councilmember Taylor that there would be considerable investment in transporting the water from the well site to the city. Gray and Osborne, the city's engineering firm, estimated the cost for a two-mile line to be $1.7 million. At the November 8th regular council meeting during preliminary budget discussions regarding the water utility fund 401, staff updated capital projects to include two new water lines to accommodate the two new wells. Capital projects more than doubled to $6.565 million. What I thought I'd show you the scenario, I gotta find it right here. That's not it. Here. This is the scenario, and I actually added a fourth year on here. There won't be, of course, a rate increase. For that year, but it shows how the capital runs out into that period, and it shows what happens as you move on down here, where it includes in the highlighted area, it shows the reserve fund, and then at the bottom it shows what our balance would be at the end of that fourth year. We'd be in the negative by a little over $400,000, and this is with a 4% rate increase. Staff recommends a 4% rate increase for this scenario, and I'd be happy to ask questions.
Now, one time we had talked about in the homes for people that use an absorbent amount of water at different rates. Was that in here? Or have you brought something up? Conservation?
Have a spreadsheet on conservation water efforts relative to rates.
Oh, I know where I can show you.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where I have it. I have it in here.
Because Mark had brought that up, Mark Spore?
This is the same spreadsheet that we just went through right here. And then here is a 4% example of a real life example. And on the left hand side is the real life example for under the current rates. On the right hand side is the same scenario using the same usage, but it's with a 4% increase. And down at the end of that, for the annually, this user for the annual increase would be $18.93 under that scenario. This is an in-city example of somebody who has children in their home, has a garden in their, plants an annual garden in the backyard, waters their lawn, et cetera, et cetera. So this isn't just a single resident that doesn't take care of their place. So this is a good live example.
Mike, we were going to show the third block of water rates at a higher percent. We were going to show them 10%.
Okay. If we take 10% of 0.64, it would be what, another 0.064, I guess. We could change this to 70 cents, if that would be a good example. We could change it to 70 cents, and this example will change all the way down. And this is on the, this is in a volume sense, this is getting into the highest volume category, okay? So I'll change this to 0.70. If I can find it on this computer, I should check it.
What we looked at, and Debbie did some research with Rebecca, and Mike and Debbie and I met, and we wanted to propose to council that the third block of the water rates be increased more than 4%. And that was following the mayor and council members' four comments at the retreat, is we need to implement something that identifies water conservation. In other words, the more water you use, the more you're paid for it, so you need to conserve water. And we did that based on the research that the city clerk's office did with a lot of other cities. So now this is just a start point, and 10% was an easy number. So if you feel that's too high or too low, Mike can easily adjust that. But that's where that conservation measure comes in.
Okay, once I change that, it impacts the entire scenario. So once again, our increase originally was 18.93, and with adding the 70% at the higher volume level would make the annual increase $23.40. So it's just under $5. It's about $4.50 increase approximately over the initial increase of just 4%.
Does the council want to see something like that in it? Councilman Spohr had brought up. I thought it was a good idea myself, but
I thought in one of the scenarios with the increases, it got up to 70 cents anyway. You had another chart that showed the rate increase not only to the standard meter rate, but the rate increase to the unit numbers.
You mean in our ordinance, how we?
Yes. Yeah, that will back a couple.
I
thought it got up to 70 cents just based on that.
Yeah, I have some copies of those too. Okay. This is a copy of, this ends up to be in the ordinance. These increases right here. If you look here in the 2010 column, this is what our current rates are right here.
Right.
And if we go along at a 4% increase in 2011, this $25.49 will become $26.
Yeah, but scroll down. We want to see the per unit rates because you're applying the 4% to that also.
I think right here.
There.
This is the first block, second block, third block.
Yeah, right, just keep there. Going. See right there, 2013. Well, no, what are we doing here?
Here's 2011 in the third block. That was the 64 cents in that example. This would be 64 cents in 2011. In 2012, it would be 67.
Right.
And in 2013, it would be 70 cents.
So in 3 years, we get up to that 70 cents for the last unit.
Yes, that's correct.
And my proposal was we do that immediately.
Right, it would start at 70, and then it would be increased 4% a year after that.
Well, I didn't say that. I said, I said just start at 70 cents immediately and not change it for 3 years was my intent.
Okay.
Not build up to it, just establish the conservation intent.
That is the cost for the outside users.
Yeah.
Right.
72.84.97, yeah. And then how it goes up.
Right.
150%.
Ken?
Comment on this. You know, I don't know. Sure, you can penalize those people, whatever you want to do. You've already, their rate versus these first stage of that is 33%, if you figure it out. So they're already getting penalized to a certain extent for that added water to use. If you start increasing that, people are going to start, I'm going to save a little water. I'm going to go water my lawn. Now what are you going to do when the lawn will turn brown? You're going to go back and complain to them to turn their lawn green again? I mean, we've got a pretty good formula here. I think we ought to keep what we got and let it maintain like it is, because I think it's feasible. Go ahead and do the increase rate, and it'll basically add to that. Because what you're going to do also, when you plan this game with this, what are you going to do in that third block when you go to the industrial portion? Are you going to add rates to them as well when they're up into that higher bracket? Then you're penalizing them or jeopardizing your businesses. So how are you going to adjust that? I guess is what I'm saying. You've got some contracts out here with our processing plants, and they're established what we're using as rates for increase. And then you turn around and say, oh, all of a sudden we're going to add this little amount in there. It may not be much, but to them it could be quite a bit. So I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but I think we ought to stay with our straight across the board percentage and not trying to adjust one or the other. We got into this back when we were negotiating with Simplot, and we had so many little things that was in there that we cut all those out and started out with a brand new contract, wiped the slate clean, and worked our way back up again. And I think that's what we're doing here. I think we're starting over again, starting to add a little one here and another one here. And I think, I just don't think it's the right way to go.
The council
has two issues. One is percent increase, and will that meet our financial funding needs for the capital improvements for the future? That's that 4% that staff is recommending. The second question is, do you want to impose a conservation measure of a higher percent for the block 3 rate to entice people to conserve water?
I don't know if you'd be able to answer this question. So an average household of 5 people use the first 2 blocks up? Is that what that's set up? I mean, how do you adjust?
Well, we go back to our average example, Mike, which is a household of 5, 2 adults and 3 kids.
And this was in your packet too, and it showed cities on the eastern side, the water rates, and it was in response to EWC's survey. And their columns or their schedules are a little bit different than our the way we bill. You can see that we highlighted the Othello's rate and what the average is. And we're a little bit higher on our base rate, and then as the block rates go up, we're a little bit higher on the first and second, and then a little bit lower on the third. And you can see what other cities.
Does the council have a feeling about the conservation thing, or not really wanting to do it? Heard from Ken.
Do you know if you actually have that in residential customers that hit that third block?
Oh yeah, and you can see this scenario, they actually hit it, looked like in the summertime.
Yeah.
Only June and July. You know, just 14 units there on that. Versus Peatland, total us 28 units. They had, let's see, 14 units in that higher rate, and then 22 in that higher range the next month. And then, of course, then it falls down as you put it in water outside. Because the first one is only 800 cubic feet, the second one is 2,000 cubic feet, or a normal 1-inch meter. That's only 2,800 cubic feet. That's a normal usage unless you get going with underwatering situations. But then it went down to 0. Whatever month that is, it went to 2, from 10 to 2 to 0 in December, November, October.
Looking at Mike's scenario, we're still, if we did all the projects by the year 2014, we're still minus a little over $400,000 in doing it. Personally, we need to extend it out not the rate, but our projection of doing work further out in 2014, because I don't want to hit our city residents with all the increases all at once to try and pay these. I would like to maybe see, well, Tandon and transmission line come in 15 or 16 in that area. I'm agreeable on a 4% increase across the board for the next 4 years, let's say, or three.
I think typically that is actually what has taken place. We were going to actually drill this well 2 years ago, I believe, and we kept moving it, obviously because we couldn't find the property, but kept moving it, and now it's at a place where we could basically pay for cash out of the water fund for it. And I would see that on those others too, as there will be different scenarios as time, as we move through time, so we'd see those either moving out or things happening with those. And also, I know there are people who actually do water rates for a living. I'm not a person who does water rates for a living. So when I do my water rate scenarios, it's based on the entire fund and the entire population of our users. Well, a real water rate analysis wouldn't look like that. So I tend to undervalue that, and each year our revenue comes in higher than what I had anticipated because of that. So I just want to be upfront with you. I'm not sitting here as a water rate expert. That's not my background. But I think we've done well. I actually like being conservative, if I'm not the truth, because it makes me look good at the end of the year. But it has worked out good for the city. And so I actually believe that the revenue scenario is actually a little stronger than it shows in that scenario. And I'm not going to say it's going to be $400,000 per ton. I wouldn't go that far. But anyway, I just
want
to
give you a little bit of
the
background.
Go ahead.
One more comment here too. And I agree with Ken and Mike both here as far as pushing that well down the line, because now we've got well number 5 back in full operation. We've got well number 6 that should come back online. So basically, we've got almost a new well there. I mean, we haven't been able to use it. Yeah, we use it for emergency, but we can't use it for our overall operation. So if we could go ahead and do the well number 9, get that done, get our translation online, then we've got a backup to where take care of what we've got now. And with the building situation and the economy of what it is, it is right now, I think that we'll be able to hold the next 2 years on that. So I think we're going to look at that last well and transmission line down the road, even 2 years, 3 years down the road. So I think you're all right with 4%. And here's a slight little comment here I've got. We talk about how expensive water is. With this, just take for example, this 50 cents per unit, that's a 100 cubic feet of water, which is roughly 750 gallons. That's 7 cents per 100 gallons. Figure it out. Do you need my bottle of water for that?
No. Okay, so what I'm seeing then is, let's not have the conservation end of it on. I've seen people shaking their head like that. Okay, so we're going to go with a 4% people are feeling comfortable with?
So I still move over 4%.
Okay, so you're making a motion to approve the 3-year water rate increase per attached ordinance at 4%?
Sure.
For 4 years, I guess it is?
Second.
Do I have a second? Okay, Ken Kaler was first, Mark Snyder was second. Any other discussion before we vote? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Okay. So just did this one. Okay, public hearing on the 2011 budget. That is Mike. Let me start this out, Mike, just a second. I got to find it in here. Okay. Enlarge that. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspect of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 8:07 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the city's preliminary 2011 budget. This public hearing is required by state law. The 2011 budget has been developed. I will now ask the finance officer to present a report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Once again, I'll set up my computer and I'll scroll down through these funds. And if you want to stop me at any place, please speak up. And what I've done is I have done a recap for each fund. So we start with the general fund. And over to the far right is the 2011 budget. And so we start with $1.2 million, estimating that we start with $1.2 million. Our revenue projections are 4.5, and our expenditures are 4.46, just under our revenue estimate, leaving an estimated fund balance of 1.243. Street fund is going to, our estimated starts at 66,000. Revenue is 1.259 and expenditures are 1,322. It's going to leave an estimated ending fund balance of $3,823. This park and recreation fund, this is the fund that I moved the money out of the general fund that was being set aside for the skateboard park, $100,000 in 2010, and for the community center, $100,000 in 2010. So in 2011, this fund will start with $200,000, and we will continue to add in the budget another $100,000 for the skateboard park and $100,000 for the community center. And that'll be moved in here as well for an ending balance of $400,000. I chose to set it up in a reserve fund because it's easier to track. I think we lose track of it in the fund balance of the general fund. It just kind of almost go away. We have a real property reserve fund of $319,000. This is park mitigation monies that are collected from permitting. When a new home is built, part of that permit includes park mitigation monies. And that is funneled into this fund. We expect to have $319,000 at the end of the year. The left one reserve fund, we expect to have about almost $73,000 in that fund by the end of 2011. And this fund is for left one retirees. If they have to go into a care facility, the city would have some means of paying for that. We have the fire equipment reserve fund. By the end of 2011, they will have almost $81,000, and they want to get a new command vehicle, and so they must be nearing the goal in terms of what that would cost. I think they estimated that to be around $80,000. The water utility reserve fund, it's going to start the year at $276,328. And the reason it's starting out so low is we chose to fund the water portion of the street project. I think it was $859,000. We took that out of the reserve fund to pay for those upgrades on Main Street. We expect to put almost $518,000 into that fund in the coming year to bring it up to almost $800,000. The sewer utility reserve fund, this is money we're setting aside for a mechanical facility, and hopefully that's almost 6 years away. So at $2.5 million, it looks like we would, if there's a possibility, we would have $5 million or greater
in the reserves to apply towards that facility, which is estimated right today to be about $18 million. The solid waste reserve fund, we have used some money this past year to do on the street front, to do some more alley improvements, alley approaches, and so it went down a little bit because we used that for the Main Street project. It should be at $157,000 at the end of the year. And the street reserve fund should be about $313,000 by the end of the year in 2011. And this fund, I had a conversation, this Public Works is looking at this fund to, as the fund that will replace the camera truck. Then we have a restricted donations fund. We have not budgeted anything in 2011. That's not a very active fund. We typically do a budget amendment towards the end of the year for shop with a cop, which I will be bringing to you in December for this year. The tourism fund, we talked about the tourism fund. The funding is down a little bit this year, but we budget this to keep $40,000 reserve in the fund, and that shows here. The real estate excise tax fund, once again, we used this fund, I think in 2009, $52,500. We would expect to have almost $475,000 in this fund by the end of 2011. And I think council is aware now that this can be used for park construction and projects, etc. The utility tax fund, we should start the year at almost $225,000, about just a little over $1.5 million in revenue, and about $1.594 in expenditures. And we'd leave an ending fund balance of about $143,000 in that fund. The sidewalk construction fund, we use $75,000 this year for Main Street, and so that fund is down now to about a little over $10,000. And we have an expenditure request for $1,000 next year, and I think it's for,
ADA compliant, handicap ramp associated with the museum.
Okay. So it should be down about $9,400. Main Street construction, this $1 million is simply a placeholder. I have no idea exactly how much we will end up paying out by the end of this year, but there will be additional work next year, because we know for certain that the street lights will be completed next year, and it looks like the final overlay will be completed next year. This could change. There might be more money here, but that's just money carried over from the current funding, so we don't add anything to it. The Public Works Trust Fund loan for Broadway, that's just an ongoing loan. This Public Works Trust Fund loan here is for SR-24, is new. And this $115,000 is for, if we don't go into construction, this loan has to be paid off in 5 years. It's a $427,500 loan. And if we do not move into construction, this amount will have to be paid in July of next year. If we move into construction, this goes to, I believe, a 20-year loan. So this would look completely different. This is the debt service for that. The Main Street Geo Bond Fund, this is the debt service fund for the Main Street bonds. And this is interest only for the first, I think, 5 years or 6 years. 5 years, I believe, it's interest only. The City Hall refund bond, this is ongoing, and I can't remember how many years is left in this. But that's funded out of the utility tax fund. The water utility fund, I actually budgeted the water utility fund to have the council approve minimum ending fund balance of $200,000 and then everything above that I transfer into the reserve fund. So that's how I can hit it right on the $200,000. I don't ever end up there at the end of the year, but that's how we budget that. And I do the same thing for the utility fund. The council approved minimum in there, $75,000. So anything over that, I move into that reserve fund that we're setting aside. The solid waste fund does not have a minimum ending fund balance, to my knowledge. We've never established a minimum balance in this fund. So this is just kind of a picture of how it goes. The totals for all the funds are at the bottom, and then I have to add the reserve funds in because they don't show in the expenditure column because I'm just budgeting the ending fund balance. So if I add the two together, this is $18,936,685 is the budget that we are asking the council for this year. So our budget ordinance will match this number. And so that's a picture of the 2011 budget.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I will now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. I will allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, since there was no public comments, I will close the time for public testimony. Okay, do any council members have comments and questions at this time? Mark?
Current budget, I think we're overall big picture sideways on our utility fund. We should be putting a third of that into reserves to fund major purchases like park development, community centers, fire trucks, and roads. And I think what emphasized that was because we haven't been doing that in the past, we had to borrow $3 million to do Main Street and pay back $5 million. That's $2 million that's leaving our community because we did not put that adequate reserves aside out of the utility fund. That utility fund is kind of being squandered away. It started with $1,716,000, and when we get through with this 2011, it's down to $143,000, and with really no huge reserves to avoid loans in the future. I don't think we have any money to support the infrastructure development we talk about down at the end of Broadway on Highway 24. So that looks like another loan. So I'm remiss in past years, but it's just, I think the Main Street brought it to our attention that we should be holding that and forming reserves for big, huge purchase items. I believe if I understood right in Mike's report on last year or this year's budget, that revenue is close to short $500,000 short in our general fund. Is that correct? $460,000 or something, we're under projection for the report you sent us?
Let's see.
This is for this year.
Right, $4.5 million in 2010. Well, it's kind of skewed because of, we are transferring money into this fund from the utility tax fund this year for capital, which we didn't do last year. Last year, the general fund paid almost $500,000 in capital out of its ending fund balance, out of the reserves that were in the fund itself.
No, I'm talking about revenue for 2010.
Right. This is 10, and this is 11.
No, but the actual versus budget. In your monthly statement you send to us, you said our revenues are $460,000 below expected forecasted revenues for the year.
Yeah, I could bring that spreadsheet up.
That regrettably, that's one disadvantage of not having paper. I don't have it in front of me, but it's in your report that you sent us that is part of our budget packet.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. So I think we should make adjustments for that. I mean, let's face it, where our revenues aren't where they projected to be. There was no wage increase included in the budget that was presented to us as to avoid confusion. I think it's just not facing reality. We might as well budget for it. It's going to happen. Some specifics in the budget. The one reason I got into government in the first place is because you see expenses like what that could only happen in a government establishment, and why it does, I don't know. But why we budget $1,300 for a push lawnmower and $10,000 for an air conditioner to air condition a 30 by 30 foot pump house is just beyond my comprehension. I don't know why, because we're a government entity, we think we need to throw out those ridiculous amounts. If I ran a business and somebody wanted $1,300 for a push lawnmower, I would think I was being punked. And also it includes the money for the fireworks. Again, that entity came to us, we gave money in our good graces. They made more than enough to cover it. We need to get out of that. That ballpark. I want to set that money aside and buy a tool or donate it to Habitat for Humanity or something. Not a pool, a toy. So I'm not happy with the budget, and I will vote no tonight. It was presented to us with a lot of last minute things added on tonight. I would recommend we not even vote on it tonight. If we do, I'll vote no. But I would like to compliment Mike and staff. It was presented well, it was understandable, and you guys do a nice job with the budget. And so I shake my head, I understand, but I don't always agree.
Now, you said it was changed, but didn't the council the one that changed it? So was the council, evidently you're not happy with it.
To me, you know, there's some areas where I'm not happy with it. But we all sat down here as a council the last few meetings and we went through it step by step, line item. We were aware that we were taking a lot out of the utility tax fund for quite a few capital improvements items that we had. I quite don't agree with taking it down there, but that's what we had to do this year. But there were some areas that we did have to make cuts. Yes, I'm not agreeable with the 1.5% that was taken out earlier. I believe it should have stayed, but it was taken out to satisfy somebody else. Because we're going to have to come back with a budget amendment later to fix that particular problem. And then it's going to throw us off balance again with their budget. So I am ready to go on forward with this budget. Because I think we have all set the last few meetings and we went through it all together.
Is there any other questions for Mike?
I got, well, it kind of ties in with the budget, but I kind of got to have an answer for what I'm thinking here. I know we got our six-year idea of what we're going to do down the road here. It was my understanding when we did our main street with the traffic lights and whatnot, all of those were going to be taken care of. But I see in that six-year plan, we've got 7th Street in Maine, and there's $250,000 down the road to do a traffic light. Why is that in there?
You're saying, I'm sorry, you said in the capital we have?
Yeah, in our extended balance, the yearly one there.
And was that there from the past?
Well,
and we're working on it now?
And then I have one other one while you're looking. I know Tim brought this idea up about South Broadway, doing a couple lanes in that. I think that kind of just went by for this year. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that in our six-year plan. So somewhere in the line, that should be proposed down the road or something. Neither one of them. I think the traffic light should come out. I think Tim's plan of South Broadway should go in there.
You are right. The year 2012 does identify a signal, and that should be removed because it's incorporated in fiber. So that's an easy one.
Okay.
And then it would be up to your council to put back in any other project you want. So you're right there.
Yeah, we'll be looking at that next part of it.
So, I just wanted to make you aware of what we're doing this year, then you go back and say, hey, well, we already did that.
I think we need to add First Street in there, too. I don't know if anybody's driven down that lately, but it's getting really bad.
Yeah, well, let's get back to it. Any questions for Mike so we can go through the public process? So no more questions from council for Mike? Okay, then I will now close the public hearing at 8:27 p.m. And thank you again, staff, for all the hard work, all of you. You guys have done a great job this year on this budget, as Mark has shared. It's really nice to be able to understand what's going on and how you presented it, and we're able to go through the line item by line item and really get a good comprehension of what's going on and understand ourselves. So thank you very much for all your hard work. Okay. Public hearing. Ordinance to adopt the 2011 budget. Mike? Here. There I am.
Okay. Thank you. Once again, Mayor and Council, thank you. I'll just walk through this agenda memorandum here. We started the 2011 budget process in late August. The city staff were developing their 2011 September and October, city staff budgets were reviewed and refined with an eye towards future needs in the city. In October and November, city council committees reviewed these budgets. During the past two city council meetings, the city council received reports from departments with explanations relative to funding requests for civic emphasis on capital requests. During the course of the last council budget committee meetings, as well as full council meetings, council members have made adjustments to the budget. These adjustments are reflected in the budget before you. This budget is a compilation of staff and council work that reflects the project personnel income. Once again, here's that number that I had showed you at the end of that breakdown. The budget is $18,936,685. And I was going to show you the ordinance. This is the ordinance. We list the general fund departments. So what you see here is all the general fund departments, and here's a total of the general fund. Then it goes on and it lists all the other funds that I went through that other scenario. And of course, this is all on the expenditure side. And once again, here's the total, the number, $18,936,685. So that's the budget ordinance that we're presenting for council. And staff recommends acceptance of the 2011.
Any more questions for Mike or discussion amongst the council? Okay. Do I hear a motion to move to adopt the 2011 through two? Oops, I'm in the wrong one. So now I did that. You have it up?
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion? Oops. Yeah, thanks. To adopt the 2011 budget as presented.
Make that motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson first.
I'll second.
Gina seconded.
Just administratively, did you close the public hearing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At 8:27, we closed the public hearing.
Okay. I must have been thinking about a turkey or something.
Oh, okay. Okay, we had a first and a second. Any more discussion before we vote? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, duly noted, Mark. Thank you. Okay. Where am I at here? Public hearing, ordinance, okay. Ordinance to adopt the capital facility plan 2011 through 2016. Mike.
We have before us the capital stone fund, which we had actually just talked about a minute ago, is from 2011 to 2016. This is our annual 6-year plan. City Hall Administration, there's $78,500 in capital for modifications. There's HVAC upgrades, exterior of the building, doing some maintenance on the exterior of the building. There's some computer room modifications that we need for cooling down those rooms. The police department is in their two-car scenario, $63,000. Park and Recreation, the pool kitty slide, we actually set aside $30,000 because we weren't sure exactly how much was going to be needed. But that is set aside for 2011. And then their park portion of the service truck, and then the set aside for the skate park and the community center, the street fund, part of the service truck, some money for a walk path, and the industrial access at Scootney and Moon project. The water fund, we showed the well, SR24 industrial area, 200,000, seal well number one, electronic reef meters, and there's other items with water line improvements, a large street water main, and Windsor Street water main. The solid waste fund is recrushing grindings. The total for 2011 in the capital fields plan is $1,886,500, and for 6 years is $21,221,300. As council pointed out just a minute ago, and I'll bring that up. The street fund is overstated by, it looks like, by $250,000. I would recommend that if council wants to move to approve this, that we would approve it with a modification that the street fund would be reduced by the $250,000, which would reduce the overall capital facility fund by that much.
Any questions for Mike? Okay, do I hear a motion to move to adopt the 2011 through 2016 Capital Facility Plan Ordinance? Okay, can Taylor first, Charles second it. Any more discussion before we vote?
With that amendment?
With the amendment, yeah, they're placed.
With the amendment, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you. You know, I want to bring us back to what Mark had mentioned, Councilmember Spohr, you know, about, you know, that we are starting to see a decline in some of our income. So we got to remember also, we don't spend all this at once. So we'll keep everybody in touch. If things look like they're not going where we want them to go, then we'll be looking at this as a council and making adjustments and things like that, because, you know, we're going to keep our budget balanced and not in the red, so that's the place we're going to go. So just so you know that. And again, thank you, staff. Tell everybody that worked underneath you, thank you for your hard work that they did putting this together and how you present it. So, okay.
Can I get a clarification?
Okay, Ken Kaler first. And then Charles seconded. Correct? Is that what I heard? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Unfinished business. Oh, okay.
This is kind of a pun. But seriously, Amy, we got this letter from Gray and Osborne regarding Main Street. If you sent me any email, I didn't get it, or I didn't look at it, so that's my bad, but what exactly does this mean?
Could you read the title of it? There were two different ones.
To Amon Shelton, City Administrator, 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvements.
The next line down there should be like a title line.
That was the subject.
What's the first sentence of the first?
On November 12th, a meeting was held in Othello regarding the status of the paving of Main Street.
That was Friday. You weren't there.
That was a Friday meeting. You want to talk here?
Yeah, okay. We brought in our asphalt people along with the general contractor. and because we'd heard rumors they were going to shut their asphalt plant down and that we were not going to get asphalt to keep going on Main Street. So was that the owner?
Yes, Neil.
Okay, Neil was okay. No, not Neil. The asphalt.
Oh, Pam.
Pam. Okay.
It's the owner's son.
Okay, that's who it is. Okay, and he brought two other people, his two foremen, in with him, and we sat down with him and discussed with him the fact that we need that underlayment, whatever they call it, that leveling first coat put down. We do not want to go through the winter with muddy streets. And they agreed to refire up the plant, you know, as long as the weather, the temperature comes up. They would refire the plant and come in. It would take them 3 days to get it done. They can do all of Main Street in 3 days from one end to the other and finish putting on the 3/4 to 1 inch coat that levels the whole street out so it's nice and smooth and stripe it. I'm not sure who does the striping, but whoever the contractor to do it is. Yeah, they'll come in and stripe it also, so we'll have stripes. Plus, we'll be able to plow it. So right now, the plowing's being done by MRM. So we give them a call, they come down, they plow Main Street up. So we can't, that way we're not liable for anything that might happen as a city. So we're plowing all the rest of the streets but Main Street as a community. But that is what that's all about. Right now, they did say the one thing that'll stop them is snow and super cold weather. Well, we got both. And they're supposed to have been here today for the next 3 days to have that done. They committed to come next Monday. It's supposed to warm up, hopefully, by then. And come next Monday, they'll be back for 3 days and do from one end to the other with that one coating about 1 inch roughly.
So then they come back in
later. February or March, whenever.
They'll come
I don't.
In and finish the
correct.
Finishing layer.
Correct, is what they're talking about.
So our hired engineers were in here 3 weeks ago saying that the contractor missed a few deadlines but fully expected to finish, complete the project by their date of December 26th, but now that's not being met. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that bottom line here?
They're now at, was it 29 days we owe them for things that have come up?
December 27th.
Okay, December 27th is, but that does not include the lights. That's not part of that, the street lights.
But if the asphalt is shutting down on Christmas or Thanksgiving, we're not going to get a paved and final striping.
No, they plan on coming next week, providing the weather
yes.
is there. But he said all the way through December that if we have a nice period through there where it warms up, you know what I mean? Gets up to 35 degrees or something like that. And they have to bring the asphalt down at a certain temperature and it's measured. They have a gun that they somehow they measure the heat to make sure it's laid properly. That's what the engineers do. Tom, that work storm that you've all met, he checks all that. And if it does not hot enough, he says, sorry, take back. That's how this works. And then they will come in and get it done in 3 days. That's what they said, no problem. 3 days.
The final done. Layer?
No. No.
So the project's not going to be complete by Christmas?
Correct. The final layer will not be put down this winter.
Which I've been saying since 2 months ago, that it wouldn't be done in time.
Okay, then I guess you're right.
So will they be subject to the monetary penalties then?
No, because of the weather. And your question really on that letter was, why was that meeting? What's the bottom line of that meeting? The asphalt... Central Washington Asphalt controls the batch plant that makes the asphalt. They are the sub to MRM. CWA told MRM, we're closing. We're not going to provide any more asphalt to you, which literally stopped our project. So we called an emergency meeting on that Friday. All of us sat down. The mayor was there, and the engineers were there. The city was there. The mayor was there. The contractor was there. And CWA was there. The result of that meeting was that they will stay open because they said, no, we're shutting down, we aren't going to do this anymore. So they agreed to stay open long enough to put a 1-inch pre-level coat down with striping. It will look just like a road, it will function like a road until they reopen. So we all of a sudden became subject to the batch plant staying open. And if you recall, Councilmember Spohr, last spring, when we were doing the bids,
We told council, based on what CWA told us, they would stay open. So it moves into kind of a legal arena, which happened that Friday, i.e. that letter. That letter basically reiterated what happened at the meeting and told CWA, you promised us you would stay open through the pre-leveling course. So the contractor now has no recourse but to come back and finish when the asphalt is available. It's something that was unforeseen. It happened on that day. That's why the emergency meeting was held. It's out of the contractor's control.
But do you agree it's out of our control too, the council's control?
Yes.
Do you agree that the engineering firm was here 3 weeks ago telling us the project would be complete except for the street lights, including striping?
I also agree that the batch plant issue was not known at that time. Things change in a project. In every project, things change. And we told you via letter, via our verbal comments tonight, as soon as we could, what happened. You have the minutes, basically, from that meeting to keep you up to date on what's going on.
But do you realize that as a council representative, I've been going to the citizens and saying, the engineering firm and staff is telling me it will be complete by Christmas. They were just here, and it's going to be done.
So now your response is, the batch plant's closing. I'm sorry, but we'll get your first coat down. It'll look and act like a real street, but they'll finish, which will probably be a better job in the spring when the temperatures are better, and we want the best job we can get.
So I tried for 2 months for people to say that. I kept telling them, you won't finish, and nobody would come and say, you're right, we'll do it next spring, and it'll be a better job. That's my point. And I'm very disappointed in staff and our engineering firm that we get it this way in an indirect memo that doesn't say the project's not going to be done. And I'm very disappointed in our engineering firm. You said it wasn't foreseeable that this weather would cause these delays. I called it 2 months ago. I said, why would you ever have a contract that goes to December 6th when you're laying asphalt? It's going to be bad weather. So I think it was very foreseeable. And I've also been told by staff that if they don't get done by Christmas, regardless of the circumstances, that there's a clause in the contract where they're going to start paying us for the inconvenience.
There is a penalty clause, but an exclusion is inclement weather where they can't work. You cannot hold a contractor responsible for being able to complete a job when the weather does not permit that.
Well, I'm going to hold the engineering firm accountable for extending a paving job till December 27th, and thinking any realization that they're going to be able to do paving then and asphalting.
That's why they measure, they look at the temperatures and all that, and it changed us.
In circumstances, they have did it that late, up to that late, except for the circumstances didn't go that way this time. They went to the cold that we have right now, and I understand that delay, and they are doing their best to try to get that first layer down to us. It could be much worse.
Any other questions? Okay. Old business, new business, which was we are? Unfinished business? Okay. Any other unfinished business, Mark? Anybody else?
No.
Nope. Okay.
That was unfinished. Literally, that was the pun.
Okay.
Get it?
Okay. New business? Anybody have new business? Okay.
I don't want to put Amy on the spot, but if I could get a couple memos. We paid $5,000 to heat the bricks out front, and people bought bricks told they wouldn't be salted or sodium chloride or whatever you put on them, and they were salted and sodium chloride or stuff, chemicals were put on them today to dissolve the ice and snow on the bricks out front, and I don't see any indication that the heater's working out there on our little $5,000 heater that I voted against. Also, the council has come to general consensus that gangs are a problem in town, and part of resolving that is to have recreational facilities We budgeted several thousand dollars last year for lights that included lights in the basketball court so young men and women could play there at night. Those lights never got installed this year. So I'd like a memo as to the update on that. I'm done.
Any other new business? Okay, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Snicker, and I was going to give it to you. I like it.